Al-Quds. This day actually marks a very important day for Palestinians. Al-Quds International Day is actually something that Palestinians celebrate with not gathering, but with the attempt and the very big attempt to reach towards the holy city and to be present inside the holy city where the occupier is trying to expel them every moment. The IOF and the Israeli regime is trying to expel Palestinians from inside occupied Al-Quds. And this is something that is happening every day, especially in the last 15 months of relentless genocide upon the Palestinian people. We have been seeing that, sure, that there has been the major front was in Gaza, in south of Lebanon, in the West Bank over here, but there has been a silent front being upon the Palestinians inside occupied Al-Quds. Many measurements have been taken to expel Palestinians out of occupied Al-Quds, to limit the Palestinian and the Muslim existence inside occupied Al-Quds. We are talking about systematic demolishing, systematic expellment, systematic detention, systematic banning from any kind of new buildings or expanding or fixing the homes inside the old city of Al-Quds. We are talking about many families being pushed out. Almost, we are talking for the last 16 months, we are talking about almost 1,000 Palestinian homes have been demolished inside occupied Al-Quds. In the other hand, we are talking about almost 11,000 housing units for Israeli settlers to be going into occupied Al-Quds. As my colleague Maryam was telling you, that this struggle, this ongoing struggle, it's not only about fighting back, but it's also about what is being kept silent and about the hidden wars inside occupied Al-Quds, settlement expansion, the attempts of the change of the face, the Arabic, the Muslim, the Palestinian face of this holy city is being changed day by day by the Israeli regime imposing new policies inside occupied Al-Quds. Well, today, as the last day of Ramadan, Palestinians are trying to go into occupied Al-Quds. Of course, my colleagues over here, many Palestinians have been going into the checkpoint over there. We can't go beyond that limit, as the IOF is banning media and other Palestinian volunteers to go beyond that barrier. But what remains very clear is the persistence that the Palestinians over here are feeling and are practicing to reach towards occupied Al-Quds. We are seeing people that are being sent back, but they are trying once and twice and even for a third time to go back into occupied Al-Quds. Of course, there is something to be mentioned in this sequence, is that the major checkpoints and the major roads around Ramallah and into the major Palestinian cities like Al-Khalil, Nablus, Tul Kerem, Jenin, and Al-Far'a, Beit Lahem, many roads and many checkpoints are being closed to try to limit the amount of the Palestinians who are going into occupied Al-Quds, as the Israeli regime has announced that new security measurements to be taken over here to make Palestinians maybe make obstacles in front of Palestinians to reach towards occupied Al-Quds. As I have said over here, the International Day of Al-Quds is a very important day for Palestinians. This is actually a very big symbol of solidarity. Unfortunately, I have been saying this repeatedly through our bulletin Philippines and through our coverage that the main sense over here, the major feelings for most of the Palestinians that we are interviewing over here is the feeling that they have been left out, the feeling that there is no international support or no one cares, as we have heard from many Palestinians. Of course, this does not include those countries and those people who have stood in solidarity, and not only in solidarity, not only just talking about occupied al-Quds and trying to help people of occupied al-Quds, but embracing the al-Quds, embracing the Palestinian cause no matter what the expense was. And we have been seeing this for our own eyes, for example, to the south of Lebanon, in Yemen, in Iran, in Al-Iraq, many areas that has stood in solidarity with the Palestinians, especially in the last 16 months of a relentless genocide that is being upon the Palestinian people, regardless of the price that these nations have paid. They have continued to support Al-Quds and continue to support the Palestinian people. So this is actually a big milestone and a big day. This is a very important day for the Palestinians over here to be marked. But they do not celebrate it with march and with gatherings, but they celebrate it with the only way that they can prove their presence inside occupied Al-Quds and inside Al-Aqsa Mosque by maybe surpassing the impossible measurements that has been imposed by the Israeli regime to ban Palestinians out of occupied Al-Quds.
Thank you so much, Naka, for the update. Of course, as you said, the International Quds Day is just one single day to appreciate every International Quds Day, every day that is Quds Day in Palestine. The people of Palestine are celebrating, approving the Quds Day with their flesh and blood every day and every night. Very good to have you on the program, and thank you for the update. Right now in the studio, I'm joined by Khaled Qaddoumi, Hamas's representative in Iran. Very good to have you on the program, and congratulations on this International Quds Day. Mr. Khaled, how has the Quds Day served as a moral confrontation against the normalization of the Israeli apartheid in Palestine?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you for having me today. Well, see, today we are witnessing the second International Quds Day during the genocide being perpetrated by the Israeli regime against our people in Gaza. In this year, many things has happened. And we've seen how at one end, at one side, the international community, the institutional organizations for human rights, United Nations, even independent countries like South Africa and Brazil, they have exercised their own efforts to isolate and to expose the actual face of Israeli apartheid regime to the international community. On the other side, we have extreme arrogance, extreme hegemonic attitudes of the Israeli leadership. Yesterday, Netanyahu was having a speech in Al-Quds, and he was challenging the whole world, saying we are different. For the whole world, they have to deal us with some different way. He was shocked that students in America are in the street. He was shocked that the international community are knowing his own face, ugly face. On the other hand, he's asking everybody that this is an attack and against the Jews, and this is anti-Semite, and this is a new Holocaust. With those weird languages which has been obsoleted, and even the international, I'm not talking about the Palestinians, I'm not talking about Arabs or Muslims, I'm talking about the international community, how they are in the street today against the aggression, against the genocide which being perpetrated continuously for the last 1 year and a half, more than 1 year and a half, since 8th of October from the Israeli army without any reason. No military goals, no political goals. Heaps of resolutions internationally has been taken against Israel. None of them has been implemented because of the American support to them. So this is the thing which we are facing today. International Quds Day is witnessing the solidarity and the unity of the universe against the Israeli atrocities, against the oppression, against the hegemonic access of America and Israel today on the oppressed people of in our region, not in Gaza only, and everywhere.
Right. The other thing, as you just said, yes, the words of Benjamin Netanyahu, he seems to be living in a separate world, because even Western leaders are questioning his literature and his goals, and they are saying that there is no military objective left for him to achieve. He even the people of Israel do not know why he's fighting, if not just for his prolonging his own career as the prime minister, which is even illegal in Israel. So that is questionable by its nature. But talking about the Quds Day, how successful do you think it has been in changing the Western imposed narrative for erasing the identity and history of Palestine?
Well, see, this is a cycle of incidents. The Al-Quds Day is not today. It has been started since more than 45 years. And it has mentioned a common icon, that is Al-Quds, which been cherished by all religions, all nationalities, different races all over the five continents. Continuously, in every year, the masses is trying to convey their messages of the oppressed people to the international community, to the official levels, that we want to live in peace and we want the aggression to cease to exist. In this year, especially, and in the last year, after the Tufan al-Aqsa on the 7th of October, Al-Quds Day has its own remarkable impact on the narratives of the masses. Now, well, the blood of the innocent children and innocent ladies who has been slain with cold blood by the Israelis inside Gaza by itself was granting the changing of the narrative internationally. When we all gathered in one day, in one moment, irrespective of our own school of thoughts, race, or nationality, under one topic, that we want to stop oppression, we want to stop a genocide, and we want the only occupation which has remained after the Second World War, that is Israel, to finish. That is, I mean, by the language of law, by the language of humanity, by the language of reality, it has to stop to exist. This is the thing, what we are today facing with clear cut, that there is no frame of reference is being respected by these fanatic extremist terrorist leadership in Israel, and unfortunately with the support, you're talking about the Western leaders. Well, Western leaders, to me, they are hypocrites. But now, who's sponsoring Israel's transport? Who's sponsoring Israel's money and the budget? Recently, the new administration of America has sanctioned more than $4 billion. It's not to support Israel, no. It's to provide weapons for Israel. Clearly, no one there in the world to say that we are paying $10 to the Palestinians to give them weapons or a bullet to defend themselves. Legally, we are living under occupation. It's our right to defend ourselves against the Israeli genocide, against the Israeli occupation, with all means. That is a right which has been granted by the international law to the Palestinian and to every nation who is living under the occupation. No one dare to speak with them. But on the other hand, America is there to dare to sponsor and extend all means of bloodshedding of the Palestinian to the Israeli army and to the Israeli government. And nobody is questioning them.
Indeed, and it was no surprise that the new U.S. administration, instead of the one who claimed to be a peacemaker, proposed displacement and forced displacement of Palestinians and that was indeed weird and atrocious. But tell me something, how has the international court state kind of managed to change this narrative? Because, you know, we have, especially in the past 2 years, we've had several rallies, so many rallies around the world in different cities, big cities, European cities, American cities even, and all of them supporting Palestine, all of them shouting free Palestine, free, free Palestine. How has international court state kind of empowered such movements?
This is what I am trying to explain. To reiterate and consolidate the narrative of nations in all five continents. This is the impact of Al-Quds Day. Al-Quds Day has managed to gather all those humans under one slogan. That is, we want to live in peace and we want the aggression to stop. Thanks to Imam Khomeini, who has drafted this this culture, I would say, and this this anniversary, which has only favored the humanity who is being oppressed and slain with cold blood inside Palestine. Today, Al-Quds Day has managed to empower the common man in the street to express their own ideas vis-a-vis the atrocities, the oppression, the genocide which is being perpetrated by the Israeli regime inside Palestine, with the complete cover of the American administration. Thanks to the Iranian people, who was always, I mean, whenever I am in the street on the last day of Ramadan, or last Jummah of Ramadan, of the International Quds Day, you will find the same soul, the same spirit, the same energy, with, of course, this year and the last year especially, extra dimensions of the genocide which has been implemented by the Israelis inside Gaza against our people.
Right. I'm going to talk and focus a little bit on the situation right now in Gaza and the West Bank especially. Yesterday we had a report of the Israeli snipers shooting a disabled Palestinian man. A disabled man cannot pose any meaningful threat to any hegemonic state. What kind of message are they sending across to the world? A message that is clearly not heard, because we do not see any reaction from the international community.
See, this is the pampered baby, I would say, for the West. A regime which has been established in our region in the beginning of the century to take the interests of the Western so-called civilization. I don't believe that they even have civilization. The way they are even not listening to their own people, to their own masses. Today, the white man, I would say, in Europe, in America, they are revolting against their own government in order to question them. Why should we favor such entity which has violated all red lines of humanity? Law, human rights, justice has been butchered by the Israeli government, successive Israeli governments, whether it be Netanyahu or any other name you could mention, with the extreme exposure to the face and the racist face of and apartheid face of Israel lately with this existing government, which is a corrupt government, declared corrupt government by their own society. But still, we are having no actual realistic or practical resolution which can be implemented by the international community against Israel. This is called hypocrisy, simple as that. Otherwise, I mean, if you find it in Bosnia, Afghanistan, or maybe somewhere else, the Article 7 will be galvanized and activated from the Security Council in 24 hours. It's been more than one year and a half since 7th of October. The genocide of the Palestinian people is happening by the Israeli hands, with the support of the American administrations, in front of the camera, with the arrogant language of the leadership in Israel, to say that there is no solution but to kill you. Explicitly, there is no diplomacy in that. I mean, Netanyahu is not using any other hidden language. He's saying that the only solution to us is to kill the Palestinian children. Today, Gaza has the biggest number of the amputated limbs of children in the world. We have disabled people today. More than 70% of 60,000 martyrs during the 1 year and a half, 70% of them are children and ladies. So I mean, I have no words except that let us, I would quote over here one of the European leaders' statement who was saying that stop saying please, stop saying that we need to do this, do it. Today we are not really finding any implementable resolution against Israel, which we have a lot of them, but unfortunately without teeth, without power. And what we need today to do is to listen to the masses in the street, to the pulse of the street. Today, Al-Quds Day has expressed the pulse of the nations in the street in the five continents that they are no more tolerating Israeli operations and genocide being perpetrated against our people in Palestine.
Right, Mr. Khaled, as we speak, our viewers are watching different images from the Iran country. All the people in the street, we can see huge crowds in Shiraz, Tehran, Mashhad, Bandar Abbas, and all different cities. You can see this is very impressive. People come to the streets spontaneously, all of them shouting for Palestine and shouting for justice. It is really beautiful that this International Quds Day has evolved in a way that it is now supporting the cause of any oppressed person around the world. It's not just about Palestine. It's a far bigger cause right now. But specifically talking about the current situation now that we are talking about the matter, what do you expect? Of course, Hamas is used to live under pressure. They do not bow to pressure. They have always fought bravely against any source of pressure from their biggest enemies. But what do you expect from the enforcer of the so-called ceasefire? The Qatar and Egypt, the countries that were supposed to observe the correct enforcement of the ceasefire. What do you expect from them now?
Well, see, they are with us since the beginning of this war, this genocide, and they have utilized their good offices to mediate this ceasefire. We're thanking them, really, that they were able to mediate in a way the other side is not respecting anything. The other side, I mean, look at it. The American administration, they have sent a special envoy to talk to Hamas and to mediate about the releasing of their own five prisoners, as if the whole life has been concluded in these five prisoners. Forget about 15,000 Palestinian prisoners. Forget about the genocide is happening over there. Forget about the bloodshedding is being shed by the Israelis. They don't want even to listen to anything, as if the whole deal is only about these four dead corpses and the one American soldier who was American Israeli soldier who was to kill our children. And they are summarizing or reducing the whole story into the story of swapping these five prisoners. Nevertheless, it's a clear recognition from the American administration that Hamas is there and Hamas is a responsible party to do that. Now, what has happened? Their envoy, Boehler, has talked to us. We were rational enough to deal with the suggestion of President Trump, and we have matched the dots and the cons, and we have arrived to conclusion. And then what has happened? This gentleman, he came in front of the camera, and the biggest sin he committed, that he said that Hamas are good people, and they are people that we can talk to them. They are not with horns. They are not aliens. And the next day, Witkoff, he said, no, they are terrorists. They are this and that. And then we started from square one. So this is the thing, that you have suggested something. Your envoy has been convinced with the point that he was coming with. But still, we are in vain. We are in nowhere. Why? Because simply, these administrations, they don't want to conclude a deal. They would just want those prisoners, only few prisoners, or maybe some of them, to be released and let this genocide continue. Now, with this way, you're reaching nowhere. You cannot conclude a real deal. So When we're talking about the mediators, yes, they have to carry their own responsibilities. They are carrying their own responsibilities, but we are expecting more pressure collectively from Arab countries and the Muslim countries collectively to come with not only a mere conference or a meeting. We need these summit resolutions to be practically converted into a practical action. Borders has to be opened. Humanitarian aids to efflux into Gaza. Israeli army has to evacuate Gaza. See, clearly, I would say from here, we're not asking Arab countries or Muslim countries to send their armies. We are asking them to make water available for our own people who are in the tents and who are in the open air. We need them to get food to them, to send tents to them. We don't need any army from them, and neither any weapon, though it is their duty to do that. But still, we are not expecting that. So, to conclude with, mediators are doing, we are doing inside Gaza. The only thing is required is a collective, holistic approach from the Arab and Muslim countries to implement what we agree on. The summit's resolutions, which has said to open the borders, to send the humanitarian aids, and to evacuate Gaza from the Israeli army troops.
Indeed, your message was out there loud and clear. I don't see how could people not understand and not get that. Thank you so much for joining us, Mr. Khaled Qadoumi, Hamas's representative in Iran. Very good to have you. And I hope, as a final question, this is, as you said, this is the second year that we are celebrating the International Quds Day while actively in battle right now in Palestine. What's your prediction for the next year?
See, we are not expecting a good time to go in short range. But we need to be, well, I would say patience. Our people, they are really, were patient, resilient for around 2 years now. Even these terminologies today does not fit when you talk humanly with our people. But the prediction is there. We're still having corrupt, fanatic, extremist leadership in Israel. We are still having stubborn, arrogant mentality in the White House. Those two elements, they are impeding any imagination for a fruitful or conductive deal to proceed further. We're not asking to go for a new deal. The same deal which has been signed on 17th of January, fit to proceed further for settling the situation and for peaceful action over there. What I am expecting on the long range, that the enemy, they don't have any other option but to abide by this deal and proceed further with the permanent peace in Palestine.
Inshallah. Thank you so much, Mr. Khaled Qadoumi, Hamas's representative in Iran. Very good to have you on the program. That was Khaled Qadoumi, Hamas's official representative in Iran. Now I'm joined by Fra Hughes, journalist, author, and activist, joining us from Santa Pola in Spain. Fra, very good to have you. How different do you think this International Quds Day is compared to the previous ones?
Well, I think it's an opportunity globally and internationally for people to come together supporting the call for justice and sovereignty and dignity for the people of Palestine. But also, under the circumstances we find ourselves, I would expect that this year the Al-Quds demonstrations globally will be huge. We're witnessing a genocide in real time on television, on our phones, in our homes. Sadly, not on mainstream media. I don't mean sadly about some genocide on mainstream media. And sadly, it's not being portrayed in the horrific detail that it's being carried out in. But these images in Iran, even I am aware that Al-Quds Day exists because of Imam Khomeini, who put Palestine at the very heart of the cause of the Islamic Revolution of Iran in 1979. And because it's a global call, and because of the injustice being visited upon the Palestinian people in Gaza, in the West Bank, and I would imagine, on those in historic 1940 Palestine. There is a day now. I mean, we have the Israeli apartheid week, which people in Belfast and Ireland and Europe and other countries, people are out kind of calling for boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israeli companies. In fact, there was an international conference in Belfast just on, I think it was Tuesday, and there were a delegation from Israel on this international trade union conference, and BDS Belfast, a very active group, went down, took to the stage in the auditorium, and called on the delegates to physically stand with them against the Israeli genocide being visited upon the people of Gaza, and or to leave the conference. So the very fact that a group of maybe 10 people in Belfast with another 20 outside protesting were able to enter the building, get onto the stage, and call for an end to what can only be described as genocidal cooperation with any Israeli academic, trade union member, business person, military expert, or diplomat. We must break all these connections going forward. And the fact that people in Belfast, even tomorrow, there'll be, I don't know if it's an Anand Day on the 29th of March, but there's definitely rallies in Belfast tomorrow calling for an end to the genocide, calling for a just, a peaceful solution for the people of the region. But as our comrade spoke earlier, that so long as America is supplying the financial, political, and military means by which Israel is carrying out this genocide, ethnic cleansing, the destruction of Gaza, and increasingly of the occupied territories, so long as that continues, it's very difficult to see that there'll be any justice for any Palestinian going forward. And did I read something today that Israeli leaders are calling for the murder of Palestinian children? So they've already murdered like tens of thousands, and have claimed it's almost collateral damage because they're trying to take out the leaders of the resistance in Gaza, and yet now they're publicly calling for the execution, extrajudicial murders, the genocidal killings of children. So presumably they won't grow up to resist any further occupation by the Israelis of Palestinian land.
Right, for as we speak, our viewers are watching the gathering of people in different cities across Iran, people in the millions, in the thousands are there in the streets. They're all celebrating the International Quds Day, which is very significant this year, and it is more important than ever. Right, as we said earlier, this is the second year in a row that we are celebrating Al-Quds Day while the Palestinians are engaged in a war, in an unfair and imbalanced war right there in their territories, trying to be chased out. They are being chased out of their home and their homeland, and they are fighting with their tooth and nails. So right now we are also with Maryam Azarcha in our studio. Thank you so much for your patience, Maryam. Can you tell me, in what ways do you think the Quds Day challenges the Western support for Israel?
I mean, what happened, especially as the Hamas representative in Iran talked about it, this is the second Quds Day following the latest round of genocide in Gaza. So for over 15 months, people saw, because every time the Israelis murdered Palestinians, every time the Zionist regime murdered women and children and destroyed homes and hospitals in the past, it basically was stifled, the sound was stifled by mainstream media, that people wouldn't learn about it. Many people across the world wouldn't learn about it because they had, you know, they very few independent media, and they cannot be, of course, their censorship with everything that's going on. But now for the first time, this latest round of genocide, people saw live, people saw as women and children were being hit, people saw as schools and hospitals were being hit, people saw thousands upon thousands of people being killed. And they also saw, actually, that what's happened, instead of the Israeli officials at least feigning interest in saving civilians, what they talked about is they started talking about, you know, basically it's their fault and they shouldn't have supported Hamas. And, of course, we know Hamas is the native resistance of Palestine. And They were basically being punished for supporting resistance in the face of occupation. So people across the world saw this. And now, more than ever, they're aware of what happened in the occupied territories, basically. And now you see a lot of these mainstream media posts, you know, CNN and all of these other pages, that all these other channels that they have been basically constantly supporting the Israeli regime, are now having to cover very small bits of Israeli crimes and try to basically show that they're also basically covering those crimes in order to not lose their entire audience. And you see under the posts on Instagram and elsewhere, the comments people have put. Now, these people are not Muslims, many of them, are not even from this part of the world. A lot of them are Western people, American people. They have been raised being told that Israel is the biggest ally, is the biggest U.S. ally, that it's the only democracy in the Middle East. That's what they've been told. And for the first time, their eyes have been opened because of this latest round of genocide that was basically a lot of people filmed it and a lot of people saw it across the world. People are rising up, and this is a major problem. And because people are rising up, then the U.S. is actually showing, and the Western entities are actually showing, a very fascist behavior that was to begin with in their nature. But the mask is off. They are showing who they were to begin with. They're showing that it was never about freedom of speech, that it was never about, you know, preventing religion to basically take away the rights of people. It was about taking away the unity of people so they cannot stand up against the Western hegemony. And now we see them cracking down on universities, cracking down on students, basically kidnapping university students. One of the latest cases, a Turkish student on visa in the U.S., taken by undercover police, you know, the mask faces, sunglasses, you know, taken away. And, you know, it remains to be seen what becomes of her. You know, the way they're cracking down on students. And, you know, Trump came out saying, you know, we have to basically send those university students back to their country, kick them out of America. But of course, what he won't say is that what large portion of this resistance is actually native to America. It's actually Americans. It's American students that have seen all these years that the U.S. lied to them, that mainstream media lied to them. And now they're starting to question. And before, I mean, not only are they questioning Western hegemonic policies supporting the, when Trump, for instance, talks about, America first, and, oh, we shouldn't fund, when he talked about, oh, we shouldn't fund the Ukraine war anymore, certain people pointed out that so many times the money sent to Ukraine has been sent to the Zionist regime and is continually being sent. And the American public has zero say about it. There is no way they can stop the American regime from sending aid, and this is obviously not humanitarian aid, from sending weapons, from sending billions of dollars to the occupation. And so people are seeing this across the world. People are understanding what's happening. And not only are they questioning these world powers, they're also questioning international entities that were put in place with the slogan of human rights. So, for instance, we have 5 veto power countries. Now, the audience can say, what portion of the world does the UK represent? What portion of the world does France represent? But these countries, these entities, they have a veto power over the rest of the world. So all of these years, we had so many resolutions voted on by very many countries who actually wanted the oppression to stop in Palestine, but it would just be basically lost by a U.S. veto, by a veto with other world, other veto powers. So they are seeing the inefficiency of these international organizations and starting to question, and are actually saying that perhaps an entity that was placed, that gave the veto power not to the oppressed but to the oppressors, probably didn't have the interest and the human rights of the oppressed in mind. So all of these various entities are basically, in the minds of people, they're shattering. And this is a very dangerous time for the U.S. They're basically, the way they're trying to kill off Palestinians, the way they're trying to kill off resistance, and what happens is what always happens when there's a major crackdown on people. People become more and more aware. they start fighting more and more. And as this happens, they see more and more of their freedoms taken away. And so more people are joining resistance. We have, you know, the Zionist regime, this latest round of genocide went into Gaza saying we want to destroy not only Hamas, but the entire resistance front. And what happens is that now Hamas has sympathizers and followers across the world, not only in the Muslim world, you know, in the Western world as well, among university students who were raised being told that Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East, that this is our greatest allies, that the IDF, what we call it, the IOF, is the most moral army in the world. And now what they're seeing what the Zionist regime is doing. And all of this image is shattered. So basically, the responsibility remains on the shoulders of the people. Now, it's true that the U.S. has the biggest weapons and it has the biggest military budget. And it's true that all of these, you know, various, I mean, we have so many, there are so many soldiers fighting for the Israeli regime. They're French, they're American, they're from across the world. They're not only, because of course, you know, much of Zionist to begin with, they have dual citizenships because they're not natives to their land. So what happened is that people are seeing that these small pockets of resistance have been able to support each other and have been able to stand up against the Zionist regime. Why did the Zionist regime accept the ceasefire agreement in Gaza to begin with? They never accept the ceasefire agreement when they're winning. They only accept it when they're losing until they get fresh support. And we saw that as soon as the Israeli regime felt that it had what it take to continue with the genocide, of course, they continued murdering Palestinians throughout the ceasefire. But now they basically left the ceasefire. They got fresh bombs from the U.S. with American tax dollar money, and they left the agreement. And they had to agree to an agreement to begin with Hamas, with the same entity they went into Gaza to annihilate. They had to agree to a ceasefire agreement with Hezbollah. Now, I mean, this is all major power, because the Zionist regime, Israel is not only Israel. Israel is America. Israel is all of the Western hegemonic front. It's all of their weapons, all of their military power, all of their media power, which is a major, is very important, because media can have a major role in defining what people believe, you know. So people, for the first time, are realizing that they actually have power even in their small pockets of resistance.
I'm sure you're also enjoying the view. These huge crowds who have come spontaneously to the streets all around Iran, these are going to be worldwide rallies in support of Palestine. The International Quds Day has just begun. So this is really, really impressive. Right now I'm joined by Leila Hatoum, Editor-in-Chief of MENA Uncensored from Beirut. Very good to have you on the program, Leila. The question is, how does Quds Day, in your view, foster unity among Muslims worldwide?
Basically, tentacles, as I call them, have tried to sow division among the Muslim world for centuries, at least for the past two centuries. And the Muslims are now regaining that unity, especially over a cause that unites everyone, and that's Quds Day, Jerusalem Day, Palestine. The Palestinian cause, at the end of the day, you have to understand, is not only about religion, but it's also about humanity. And Islam actually calls for respecting human beings, calls for unity among people, that they meet each other in peace. And the Western world doesn't want that, because the moment that people meet together, they will be as one against the evil sources in this world, including the Zionists, who are trying to divide people and conquer them and control them. So at the end of the day, if the way you look at it, the more the U.S. oppresses its own people against expressing their views and tries to actually kill other people and support the Zionists in killing other people and controlling them, this will create a reaction, and that reaction would be in uniting the free people of the world against that kind of hegemony.
Right, Leila. The thing is, right now, as you said, it has expanded to far more than just Muslims, and all the freedom seekers in the world are supporting the cause, and that is very obvious in all the rallies that we are witnessing in Western countries, in major cities, in America, in Europe, and everywhere. But the thing is, does these rallies replace real action, real meaningful action by the governments?
Well, No, they are actually not, they do not replace, but they play a major role in pressuring these governments because they show the actual tendency within the people themselves. I mean, at the end of the day, how long can governments go against the will of their own people? And the larger the rallies are, the more that the people send a message to their governments that we are more in number, we're increasing, and you cannot ignore us anymore. So at the end of the day, it plays, it's not an auxiliary role, but it plays a supporting role in pressuring the governments. But alone, it's not enough. Because people, at the end of the day, just rallying on the streets, I mean, it's not going to take action to stop the Zionists who are doing a Holocaust in Palestine, who are today also attacking Lebanon, South Lebanon, under false pretenses, who continue to occupy Syria, Lebanon, and Palestine. And at the end of the day, I mean, people just rallying on the streets is not enough action. Fighting also is another supporting role, which is basically what the resistance is doing across the Levant and the Middle East, as well as basically pressuring the governments, talking to politicians will also help.
Right, Leila. We're also having Frahius, journalist and author and activist, joining us from Santa Pola, Spain. Thank you for waiting and thank you for being patient. Tell me something. The European governments all claim to uphold human rights and they show real sensitivity to the smallest issues anywhere but in Gaza and Palestine. Why are they so indifferent towards what's happening in Palestine right now?
What you really need to do, everybody should think about the colonial history of all these countries that are backing the fascist state of Zionism in the Levant. And if you look at the history of Britain, and look at the history of France, and look at the history of Germany, they have all been involved in different genocides across the globe. Britain at one stage ruled one quarter of the world's population, and indeed had invaded and partially colonized every country on the globe except 22. So you're looking at the present day colonial white European Anglo-Saxon footprint, which is Zionism. And Zionism is a political ideology, and obviously I separate that from Judaism. We do have people of the Judaic faith who are opposed to Zionism, and indeed many are opposed to the very fact that the state of Israel exists. I mean, I view Israel as being born through terrorism. It exists with terrorism, and indeed is expanding in Syria and in Lebanon and in Palestine through the use of terrorism. So you have these colonial powers like Britain, France, Germany, and now America, who are all backing, really it's nearly all of the EU governments, not the people, are 100% behind this white European footprint in the Levant. So it's a modern day colonization. It's a 17th century mindset where you displace the indigenous population and then you replace them with the colonizers. So you have a 17th century mentality of destroying the indigenous population, just like they did in North America and Canada, just like they did in Australia and New Zealand. And I always say this, people talk about the one state solution. I'm not saying I'm against that, but you talk to an Aborigine or a Kiwi, or you speak to a Native American, and they're not treated with equality under the one state system. They are still in an apartheid system, living under modern day colonial rule. So Israel is using 21st century weapons in order to eviscerate the Palestinian people. There's no other way to describe what they're doing. Yes, the crimes against humanity. Yes, the war crimes. Yes, they're breaking the Fourth Geneva Convention and their own statute with the policies that they're carrying out as an apartheid, racist, fascist regime. I also compare what's happening in Gaza to what's happening in Donbass. And I say that simply because 27 million members of the Soviet Union died in order to defeat German Nazism and German fascism in the Second World War. The people in Gaza are dying and are being murdered and are being slaughtered and are being raped in the prisons. Everything that the Israelis say the Palestinian resistance have done to the Israeli people is actually projection. It's what they're doing. They're murdering babies, they're murdering pregnant women, they're raping prisoners in the jails. They're kidnapping people and stealing their organs. I mean, this is all out there. It's been documented for decades that people in Gaza have been being kidnapped, young children, and then their bodies would turn up a week later and it'd be missing several of their internal organs or hearts or kidneys or their spleen. This is the type of, I can't say it's inhuman because human people are carrying out these barbaric acts, but there is no empathy, there is no compassion, there is using and dehumanizing the other. They are treating Palestinians as if they are animals. When they were bombing, which they're continuing to do, and they basically forced nearly everyone to leave northern Gaza, they treated the people like animals, and they moved them from place to place to place to place by bombing them. Now, a shepherd who has sheep has a dog, and he uses the dog to move the sheep around. The Israelis were using a bombing burial campaign of death and slaughter to corral Palestinian people from one place to the other. Now, you mentioned European governments. I think Israel is, keep saying it, a European footprint in the Levant. It's there. Once, not that long ago, America claimed to be the world's policeman, that it was their duty to enforce their value system across the globe. You have the soft power through Hollywood and the mainstream media, and then you have the hard power through military force and military intervention, sanctions, and attacks upon the financial structures of targeted countries. So what you have is a white Christian Judaic front that is in the Levant with the idea of keeping the Ummah divided, of keeping the Levant divided. They created all these kingdoms under six people in 1917 after the conclusion of the First World War.
Right.
You look at a map, when you look at a map of West Asia, you can see how they divided it up in order for those resources to be ripped for the benefit of the West.
Thank you, Frab. Well, it's time to get our first report from underground. Let us go to the city of Isfahan and the huge crowd of people in that city, in that major city, all marching towards the cause of Palestine. Our reporter Fazana Shirin is with us on the ground. Fazana, all of our viewers want to know what is happening around you.
Well, as you mentioned, right now here I'm in the central city of Isfahan, where a huge crowd of Iranian people have taken to the streets in order to commemorate and mark the International Quds Day. And where I'm standing right now is one of the main squares of Isfahan, the square of Imam Khomeini Square. As I mentioned, a massive crowd have taken to the streets and to this actually iconic square in order to voice their message and actually to again reiterate their support and solidarity with the Palestinian people. Of course, it's not for just this year or last year. It's an annual event for the Iranian people. And as we know that actually the International Quds Day was established by the late leader of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, which has become one of the very important symbols of resistance that can actually that endure and will continue through time. And before this report, I had the chance to talk to some of the participants of this rally. I had the chance to talk to different people from all walks of life, from different generations, young and old. One of them was a 13-year-old girl that was here and told me that she could not, you know, stand seeing that the Palestinian people and, of course, especially the Palestinian children are being massacred and killed by the Israeli regime, and they cannot remain silent. And as an Iranian teenager, she said that if we here and today we say that down to Israel, down to the U.S., it means that, of course, they are urging all the lawmakers all around the world to come out to the streets, as the Iranian people do, and mark the International Women's Day in order to reiterate their solidarity with the Palestinian people, and of course with the axis of resistance that have been fighting against the oppression, fighting against the Israeli regime. And as you can see behind me, the energy is intense, and people from all walks of life, from different generations with their families, are here in the iconic square of Imam Khomeini in the central city of Isfahan. And one thing about the city of Isfahan is that, of course, the city is a home to thousands of martyrs from the Iran-Iraq war, and of course martyrs of fighting against the Israeli regime, including Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Zahedi, Brigadier General Abbas Nilfo Roushan, who actually sacrificed their lives and dedicated their lives for the fighting against oppression, fighting against the Israeli regime. Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Zahedi was assassinated in an Israeli attack last year in the Syrian capital, Damascus, and Brigadier General Abbas Nilfo Roushan was assassinated along with the Secretary General of Hezbollah, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. And this city is the city of martyrs, the city of resistance, one of the cities that holds the symbol of resistance in vast population of the Iranian people who support resistance and who support the Palestinians. As you can see, people from different generations, families with their children are here in the iconic square, and they are holding the flags of Hezbollah, the flags of Palestine, holding the flags of the martyrs of the resistance front, including the Secretary General of Hezbollah, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, of course, and the flag of the Islamic Republic of Iran is also waving along the crowd. And they're chanting slogans saying down to Israel, down to the U.S. And one thing about the down to the U.S. Actually young teenager told me that when they say down to the U.S., it means down to the U.S. policies. And Iranian people want, their message to the American people is that they also want them to come out to the streets and voice their support and their, of course, anger against, of course, their support for the Palestinian people and their anger against the Israeli oppression.
Thank you, Fazana, for the report. Our viewers are watching images from different angles, different cameras all around the city in Isfahan. This is very impressive. Of course, we'll get back to you for more reports. Thank you for the report once again. Right now, let me get back to Beirut and talk to Leila Khatoum, Editor-in-Chief of MENA Uncensored. Leila, you heard what Frahius said. I would like to also thank Frahius for being with us on the program so far. Thank you, Frah, wherever you are. And Leila, you heard what Frah said about dehumanization of the people in Gaza by the Israeli forces and also the concept of modern-day colonization. The thing I wanted to talk to you about right now is Donald Trump's recent stress on the Abraham Accords. You know, while we witness such viewpoint from Israelis towards an Arab nation, the Palestinian people, the Abraham Accords, what's the significance of the comments of Donald Trump right now and the stress that he's putting on it?
Well, a lot of people have been saying that the Abrahamic Accords are the brainchild of Donald Trump, but in reality, those accords have the Zionist fingerprints all across them. The seeming image of it is bringing together the three heavenly religions that descended basically from the forefather of them, that's Abraham. That's, we're talking about Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. But in reality, it's all about normalizing ties with the Israeli entity, normalizing ties with Zionists, approving what the Zionists are doing. And anybody who opposes that will not only be called anti-Semite, but then will be called an infidel because they don't believe in those religions, which is really funny. I mean, if the Israelis, if the Arabs, if anybody believes in the Abrahamic Accords as set by Donald Trump and his people, they shouldn't be killing Palestinians who are Muslims and Christians in Gaza. They shouldn't be dehumanizing them. So at the very core of it, the Israeli action against the Palestinians of Gaza, be they Muslims or Christians, because they are killing Christian Palestinians in Gaza as well, it is against the Abrahamic Accord. So in that sense, Donald Trump and the Israelis are hypocrites on this matter, and the Arabs who normalize ties based on that are also basically hypocrites.
Right, and Leila, we are witnessing the Israeli atrocious act